In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Less than a week before he's betrayed and crucified, Jesus fulfills all the Old Testament offices in an obvious way that Palm Sunday. He's received as the King of Israel who comes in the name of the Lord. He acts as the high priest who cleanses the temple. And in this prophetic act, in his words, and his later teaching in the temple, he reveals himself as the prophet like unto Moses, to whom we must listen. Jesus' prophecy, however, foretells the destruction of Jerusalem and its attendant horrors at the hand of the Roman general Titus in the year 70 AD. It's both a warning and a show of his divinity. When the prophets of old prophesied calamity and punishment, they used external signs. Isaiah went naked and barefoot when he prophesied the king of Assyria would lead Egypt away captive. Jeremiah hung a chain around his neck when he prophesied the king of Babylon would bring all nations under himself. Ezekiel made a model of Jerusalem out of a brick, then laid siege to it, prophesied that the Jews would be led away captive to Babylon. Jesus' prophecy is accompanied by weeping. If they had repented and believed in him, all these things would have been avoidable. Repentance is the turning away from your sin and toward God. It means to stop seeking your own pleasure and way, and to trust God to provide what you need. It's to be sorry for your sins, your constant longing for the things of this world, and wanting to do better. But it's also receiving from Christ the forgiveness he won for you by his death and resurrection, and which he freely and generously bestows through faith. It's to find relief, joy, and fulfillment in him. What great effort or sacrifice does this require? Can the things you're called to leave behind bring peace? What's really lost if you give up drinking? The embarrassment and hangover? What's lost if you don't commit adultery? The warning is almost always meant for more than its immediate hearers, for whom, in most cases, it was already too late. These things are recorded for our instruction. There's a pattern we are to discern. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. The end is coming soon. His word cannot be ignored without consequence. Lifestyle matters. We will be relieved of the false accusations and hatred of this world, delivered to our Father in heaven who purchased us as his own at the cost of his only Son. Thus, the warning for you is to not go the way of Jerusalem. The so-called city of peace didn't know what makes for peace, nor the time of her visitation. Even as Jesus' weeping is a physical, visible response to the hypocrisy and rejection of Jerusalem, so also the destruction of Jerusalem is a physical and visible example of what will happen to the whole world on the last day. Don't let that day take you unaware. At the same time, however, know that you will not win over this culture and usher in a just kingdom. You must fight, and fight by speaking to your neighbor and warning them against the depravity and injustices of this culture. Engage in public witness against these things. Yet in the end, you know exactly where this is going. You know how it ends. You never belong to this world and never will. But for what have you mourned in the midst of all this? For the world's hostility toward the church? For the lost souls still caught up in sin? Or for the eventual loss of income, prestige, and easy life? repent. Repentance is, after all, the life of the baptized, a daily ongoing drowning of the old man by contrition and repentance, and the rising of the new man who comes forth by grace to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. This life of repentance, of dying and rising to sin again, will not stop until the good work in you is perfected on the last day. Apart from this, there is no hope, no salvation, no meaning. It's the foundation and source of faith and still sustains it. You are not a doomsday prepper trying to survive the apocalypse, but a disciple trying to stay faithful in it. Be ready to confess and to turn your back on safety, health, comfort, and state, perhaps even family. This is war. Look back to the destruction of Jerusalem and see a most possible future. Prepare first, therefore, by repentance. Abide in the means of grace and trust in God to provide and see you through. You also need to learn some things by heart, the actual precise words and formulations of the faith. Know the words of the Sunday morning liturgy by heart. It's ancient and faithful. It's been tested and proven worthy, handed to us by our fathers. You also need the catechism, not just rote memory without understanding, but the actual words in precise order, in context, one after another. If you have only the ideas and not the words, you can corrupt them, forget them, and become confused. The catechism lays out the life of the baptized as it moves back and forth between the commandments, the creed, and prayer, and is fed and nourished by the sacraments. And make your children do this too. Train them in the pattern of sound words, of pure doctrine, to give them something to hold on to in the midst of persecution, even death. Prepare them so that even if they are taken away from you in this life, you will have them forever in heaven. Learn these things and memorize them. Recite them and meditate upon them. Keep, hold, and love them. They unite you to God and to the saints who have gone before you. How do you do this? Come to church every week. Learn the words of the liturgy by heart. Use the daily catechesis with its daily Bible readings and disciplined prayer. Pray for the world and culture, for your family and city, for our church and pastors. Recite a part of the catechism, even as you do the Lord's Prayer and Apostles' Creed. Add Bible passages to recite, to repeat over and over again. And don't content yourself by saying, "This is Emmaus. Of course we've learned these things." Don't take them for granted. Every athlete, even in prime condition, must train before competition in order to win the prize. Do the work now while it's day, for the night comes when no man can work. Don't quit. Keep fighting. If and when you fall, get back up and start over. Let these things fill your mind with the things of God rather than the things of this world. Deepen your understanding of the liturgy of the divine service as its wisdom is revealed to you. Watch as these words continue to become part of you, changing you from the inside out. And because no one will be able to take them from you, you can sing the Gloria in Excelsis, the Agnus Dei, the Nunc Dimittis, while they roast you alive for your faith and die as a Christian, attesting to God's grace in Jesus Christ to your fellow prisoners, just as the noble army of martyrs did before you. Do not be like Jerusalem. You've sinned, but it's not too late. Now is the hour of visitation. Today is the day of salvation. Christ comes today with healing. The liturgy bids you to lift up your heart, to dismiss earthly thoughts. For Jesus himself comes to you. He is the peace that passes all understanding. And he is here for you in his crucified and risen body and blood. That's why the pastor holds before you the body and blood. Just before you eat and drink, saying, "The peace of the Lord be with you always." And you say, "Amen. Yes, yes, it shall be so." What happens here is no less a miracle than God walking in the garden, seeking to restore Adam and Eve. It's no less than Jesus gazing over Jerusalem, ready to lay down his life. He is here. In his risen body and blood, he makes himself to be food for repentant sinners. He puts his immortal body into your mortal mouth and joins you to himself, putting the good confession upon your lips. He himself is the antidote to sin, death, and the devil. Rejoice that Jesus knows your end and your prize. He's not here for your pleasure, but for your good, to make you a man or woman in his own image. He who is himself peace comes now in word and sacrament, even in the midst of this veil of tears, to comfort you. This is the hour of visitation, of forgiveness. Lift up your hearts. Give thanks and trust in Christ. Soon he will end your sorrow. He will end your trials and pain. He will bring you home. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.